Welcome back to Paranormal Patio. As always, I'm Jason. This is Hair-Raising Horror Week 4. Yeah, 4. So if you haven't caught any of the previous Hair-Raising Horror Weeks, go back and check them out. But this one is going to be totally different. So, what's different? Well, right now, you might be watching this on YouTube. First time ever for video content podcast. Outside of our Patreon, which you should also subscribe to. Patreon.com/beyondthepatio. Now, this year for Hair-Raising Horror Week, wow, totally different. Changed it up. We've got Steve Berg, Martin Shaw, Tobias Whalen, and myself all coming together to bring you four, not one, not two, not three, but four episodes of Dockside Dogs. Dockside Dogs is a scenario that's written for the Call of Cthulhu tabletop role-playing game, which is kind of like Dungeons & Dragons for horror nerds, which we all are. Come on, what are you doing watching or listening to this if you're not a little bit into the weird and the horror? So, great game, great story, and kind of a play on Reservoir Dogs if you're into that sort of thing. So, four episodes. First episode, not really spooky, but you definitely need to watch it. There's a lot of great stuff. You're going to laugh. You're going to be on the edge of your seat. And not just for the first episode, but for all of them. But episode two really does amp up the horror factor, and it stays throughout the rest of the game. So watch all four episodes right now on YouTube. Listen to all four episodes right now on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from, except for Apple. It's a personal decision, and I will never, ever get tired of saying that. So check us out. Follow us everywhere. Subscribe everywhere. You don't want to miss any of this. It's great. It's going to be a huge, huge season this year. I've got a lot of changes coming for season 5 of the show, and I can't wait to spend all of them with you right here. So stick around. Let's get into it.
Picture an empty warehouse standing anonymously amongst a row of similar buildings. Sea winds ruffle seagull feathers as they cry and stalk along the dockside. The sea laps against barnacled concrete and crumbling wooden piers. A blue sky meets the cold sea. A stretch of land can be seen on the far side of the bay. The rusting carcasses of several boats are moored along the quay, and there's a sound of a vehicle approaching. A van arrives, closely followed by a car. The van contains Mr. Silver and the loot. The car is driven by Mr. Beige, who appears to be alone. Mr. Silver driving the van. You're going to pull up on this warehouse that you know you're supposed to go to. You've got Mr. Beige following you. Mr. Green is not yet arrived, but he'll be along shortly. You pull up. Mr. Silver pulls his van loaded with loot up to this warehouse where I can show you a map of said warehouse. You can see there's a large roller door right here a side door right here. Now, you know, the boss has told you guys you're going to heist this money or these loot boxes, and you're going to hide in this warehouse until midnight, Friday night. You pull up in your big van. What are you going to do, Mr. Silver?
Do I know what the loot is?
You do not. Only that it's incredibly valuable.
So is it just like boxes or like briefcases?
There are three large, heavy metal boxes in your van.
Okay. So do I need, have I been told to bring them into the warehouse, or do I need to leave them outside in the van while I go into the warehouse?
That's up to you, but you're going to have a hard time moving all three of them by yourself.
Yeah, so they're quite heavy.
Yes, but
is
the
sliding? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you were about to answer my question. I was. It's going to be big enough that if you open the door, you could probably drive the van in.
Okay. Well, I think first I'll go in the smaller door just to check the place out, because I don't know if I've been in this warehouse before or if I've just been kind of given directions to it.
Okay. Let's just assume you've been given directions to it, the same as everyone.
Well, I think for safety, I'll get out and check out the place first.
Okay, just like a cursory look, or are you going to like deeply inspect this building?
Enough of a look that I can kind of see where everything is.
Okay.
You know, that I can kind of see if there's anything instantly noticeable inside, but, you know, not kind of a deep, deep check.
Sure.
If Mr. Silver stops the van and gets out, I'm going to roll the window down in the car, and I'm going to stick my head out, and I'm going to say, hey, get that fucking door open.
Nice.
The door to get the loot into the warehouse.
Yes. What door do you think? The big ass door so we can get the cars in. What are the cops going to think if they drive by?
What if the cops are already in there?
Well, let's find out. Open the door.
Okay, I'm going to agree. I'm just going to slide the door open and shake my head.
All right. So you slide the door open. You get back in the van. And at this point, you realize there's something else in the back of the van. And it's actually a person. And it's an older gentleman. He's wearing a dark gray suit. And you can't remember why, but you know he's a part of this, and it made sense to you that he's in the van. I will be playing Mr. Gray.
Okay.
So, you get back in the van, you and Mr. Gray drive into the warehouse. Mr. Beige drives into the warehouse. You know that there should be more people coming, but so far no one has made it. What's the plan of action? Are you going to leave the door wide open or close the door? Kind of keep an eye on anyone else showing up?
Yeah, I'll go in, I'm gonna park the car, and then I'll close that door. Is there like a window in the small door, or even in like the roller door at all, that I could peek out of?
So there are windows all over the building, but not on the doors.
Okay, then if there's a window nearby the doors, I will just kind of set up over there and you know, just kind of like peek out, and so I can see anybody pulling up. And then if it's somebody we know, I can go open the door.
Absolutely. So you guys have pulled in, you've secured the vehicles, you're keeping a watch. You know, you're probably glancing around, but you're waiting for everyone else to show up. And at this point, Mr. Green, wild and fancy free, pulling up to the warehouse. You don't know that they're already there. You just see the warehouse, the location that you expected and what you expected to find. You see a large roll up door and a regular old man door right beside it. Warehouse meets the description. What are you going
to
do, Mr. Green?
Well, I'm going to step out of my fancy vehicle, light myself up a Chesterfield cigarette, take 2 or 3 big pulls. It was a drive. And then I am going to go up and do a right on the front, right on the door.
Okay, well, I presumably see him pull up, right?
Yeah, you were looking out
the window, so I think you'd see him coming.
Okay. Then, I'll go over to the door, and I'm going to open the roller door, and I'm going to say, hey, pull that fucking car in here. We're not having a party.
Ooh, we can pull our cars in here?
Knocking on the door.
That's great. It was supposed to rain. I just had it washed, so that's perfect. I'm going to drive that car in if that's okay, Mr. Gray. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. You see Mr. Gray pull a small pocket notebook from his suit jacket, and he begins scribbling some notes, and he just puts it back in his jacket pocket. And maybe he walks up.
Are we still in the van just now, myself and Mr. Gray, or have we also gotten out?
No, we've gotten out.
All right, cool.
So you've got three vehicles now parked in this warehouse, one of which you know has your loot that you're supposed to be with while you wait for someone to come and pick you guys up at midnight. You're in this warehouse.
What time is it just now?
We'll say it's around 5 p.m.
Cool.
You're in the warehouse. You have a fairly decent amount of space. There's a dividing wall separating two sides of the warehouse with a large opening that you can go through. There's some older furniture sitting around and three little rooms off across from the doors. There's a stairway that goes up to a walkway that goes the entire perimeter of this warehouse with some high windows up there, so you can have a really good lookout from any direction. And the inside of this warehouse it's run down. It's a dilapidated old warehouse. It's been abandoned. Clearly hasn't been used for anything for probably a couple of years. It's mostly just the one large room. Like I said, there's a partition in the center. You can see some things kind of in the dark on the other side of the room. And yeah, I'm going to let you guys decide what you want to do. This is going to really focus on what your characters would do right now.
Cool.
I just want to comment really fast, Mr. Beige and Mr. Silver, that there is a stank in here. Big time. It's like old meatloaf or some kind of old beef. This is weird. I just wanted to say that. It stinks. It really does.
Well, no, okay, we'll keep other people away, if nothing else.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I've been, I've been smoking so long that I don't even notice it. And I'll light up a Marlboro.
Keep on smoking. Thank you.
I'm going to ask, does anyone know what we actually have in this van? I know we've got to stay here until someone comes to pick it up. But does anyone actually know what it is?
Do you know, Mr. Beige?
Look, I know what I'm paid to know, and nobody paid me to know what's in those fucking crates, man. All right? You can open them if you want, but it's not going to be my ass.
Because I was going to throw it out. Yep. We're all getting paid for this. What if what we have in those crates is worth way more than what we're being
I'm
paid?
Interested. Keep talking.
So what if we're sitting here with a bunch of stuff in this van, someone's going to come and collect it, and we're going to get change for it? What if it's worth millions?
I like the way you think, but if I'm playing devil's advocate, while we are committing a technical crime, probably, right? If we do this, then the boss is going to know who stole it. And we're looking over our shoulder the rest of our life.
True. I am too.
So maybe it wouldn't hurt to know. Just, a little crowbar to the box and,
Are the boxes securely shut? Like, could we just open them, or are they kind of locked or sealed in any way?
They are definitely locked.
Oh, like padlocked?
No, they have a built-in locking mechanism on the boxes.
It looks like these have a built-in locking mechanism on the boxes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
Is it like a keypad or something similar?
No, it's a mechanical lock.
Mechanical, okay. So it would take a key or something then, presumably.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
By the way, I'm so sorry. Out of character question.
Okay.
I guess I was a... For, I guess because I was thinking like Lovecraft and stuff that this was like in the 1930s or 40s, but is it current day?
It's current day. We're gonna play it in modern times.
Okay, sorry. That's gonna that'll
no. It's things. Absolutely fine.
Okay,
no, you great. Can do however you want. Maybe you're
I'm still smoking a Chesterfield, damn it. I'm old school.
Yeah, you bought 18 cases of them.
Okay. Yeah. When you said keypad, I'm like, wait. All right, great. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem.
Okay, yeah, sorry, I actually just assumed it was modern day because of, like, the Reservoir Dogs thing.
Yeah,
or at least,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sometime in the 90s, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, shit. If we're going to do this, we need to make sure that nobody knows that we open these boxes.
Agreed.
Well, I don't know about the background you guys have, but presumably doing what we're doing, maybe... Someone knows how to get into things maybe they're not meant to get into.
Oh, hell, I can pick a lock. It's just a matter
of... Well, I didn't want to come out and say it.
Of how forcefully I have to do it, right? All right, so if I take a look at one of these locks, Keeper, and I give it a good thorough examination... How sturdy does it look? How capable do I feel that I'll be able to pick it?
Okay. I would say you feel 63% sure that you could pick this lock.
Not bad.
That's pretty good.
Uh-huh. Pretty good. I mean, it's still an F.
What a coincidence. Okay.
I may or may not have your character sheet in front of me.
Yeah, right. I don't see lockpicks listed in my possessions, however. So, assuming I don't have any then, if it's not listed in my gear, I would have to try to improvise with something like a switchblade. That being the case, that's going to increase the difficulty, presumably.
Absolutely would, yes. And you know that as,
okay,
you know, someone with a right. skill level in locksmithing that would be better than 62% of 100 people.
Sure. All right. Well, I'll take out my switchblade and I will
okay.
carefully try to finesse the tumbler in this lock or in one of the locks. I'll just pick a box at random. Who cares?
Okay. Which box do you want to try? Let's say that they
which
are
one's
all
closest.
They're going to all be closest because they'll be side by side by side in the back of this van.
Okay. Are they? Do they have any identifiable?
Just one, two, anything? And three. No, they all look exactly the same. But for our intents and purposes, we'll say that the one on the left. Will be one and two and then three to your right.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with two.
I love it.
Can I request that you open it outside of my van in case it has any of that, like, exploding ink?
I don't oh, okay, sure. Yeah, no. That,
we can all help you carry it out.
That does make sense. Sure. Okay, yeah. We'll try to haul the box out of the van then. How heavy is it?
Any combination of you guys would be able to do it. You know,
okay,
it's
okay.
heavy. Not one person could have carried them in.
I mean, my suit's pretty fancy. I can do it, but I just don't want to tear anything. So let me just take my jacket off. Okay, I'm ready to go.
Okay, we can do this.
Look, it's a nice coat. I believe in having the finer things sure. in life. I'm a 23-year-old man who wants to look.
No, I get it. Yeah, you're
well,
a real
not
gentleman.
Let's not get into a fancy suit competition.
I will lose. Okay, we'll haul that box out of there, and then I'm gonna take my my switchblade knife, and I'm going to try to pick this lock with it.
Hell yes.
All right.
Just out of the van, still in the warehouse, correct?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. You can go ahead and make a locksmith roll, Tobias, Mr. Beige. Okay,
you got this, Beige. You got this.
Come on.
Ooh, well, I rolled a 48. So that's less than my lockpick skill, but not if it is hard or if extreme, if that's required.
So you can tell that you have just almost got this. Like, you were so close to getting this tumbler to turn. And
like, if I spent some luck, would it work? Like, how far away am I?
Let's see. What was your...
I rolled a 48. 48.
Okay. I would say that if you would have rolled somewhere in the neighborhood of 43, you probably would have opened it.
I will spend the 5 luck then.
My man. My man.
Get there.
You got what, 50 luck? That's nothing.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm rolling in it.
Rolling in luck.
Yeah, man.
Right.
You're lousy with it.
Okay, so you stick your blade into this, you turn it, you wiggle, you cuss a little bit, you're sweating, but you finally hear click. Mr. Gray pulls his notepad out and he's writing down more information. You don't know what he's writing. You just know he's writing stuff. He definitely didn't offer to help. He didn't argue about opening these boxes. He didn't say he was in favor of it either. He's just kind of being impartial around the perimeter and taking notes. But you guys don't really seem to care because, you know, you didn't even involve him in the conversation. So
he's so quiet. I literally forgot he's here.
Yeah, I forgot he was there too. Although if I'm being honest, Mr. Fox, Mr. Silver, Mr. Beige, I'm not loving these kind of snoop around vibes. Like, this guy's taking notes about us. Is he going to rat us out that we're opening this box?
We might need to ask some questions. I really want to know what's in this box.
I feel like I got a good relationship with you guys already. You know, you guys are quick buddies, but like, this guy, I don't know. I mean, what's he writing down? Is he going to rat us out? Can we trust him?
I don't even know why he was in the van.
Right?
I see he was here for a reason, but I can't remember it.
And that's weird. That's peculiar that you can't remember it. Are you a drug user? Things.
I mean, not today.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I'm working today.
Just checking, man. I mean, I don't judge. No judgment.
Right. So, okay. Here we go. You get this lid open, and you see that this metal crate, for lack of a better term, is well packed with some fine gold jewelry. There's some oversized tiaras that seem really weird, but they're nice. Some necklaces with gold, not just gold plating, but like actual gold chains. And they've got various decorations, pearls, rare stones.
Daddy like. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you guys. That looks like some pretty, pretty sweet stuff.
I expected wads of cash, to be honest. I don't think I've ever had to move, stolen jewels?
I mean, it's not that hard to fence.
I don't know. Isn't it? Like
you can't just take it and spend it.
No. No.
Something like this is going to be traceable. Yeah. Easily traceable.
Yeah, I mean, so was cash. They could mark the bills. But so, I mean, it's like, yeah, you got to do some legwork. You know, you got to launder everything these days, man. It's 2023.
Yeah, but who's stealing jewels and tiaras? Like,
that's old school.
Are we holding this for Indiana Jones? What's happening?
And not to mention, this tiara is, look at who has, the person wearing it must be of Scandinavian descent because they are oversized and extremely large. I mean, they're huge. Look, it goes straight over my head.
That comment perks up the ear of Mr. Gray, who from, 50, 55 feet away looks kind of over at your direction with a weird look on his face. And seems he didn't suspect that that would be what would be in there either. And it is a little peculiar that there are very large tiaras he hasn't laid his eyes on yet, but the description definitely got his attention. And he once again pulls out his little notebook and just makes a quick, you know, 2 second note and puts it away. And he just goes about his business looking out the window, and maybe he's concerned about the other members of the team who haven't arrived.
Can I just say something to you guys really quick? I feel like one of us has to ask this Mr. Gray a question on what's the deal with this notebook situation. And I also, something. I don't want him to, you know, tell boss that we were messing around with the crates, even though we were just looking.
Yeah, but he hasn't said a word since we came in.
Do you mind if I say something to him? I mean, on behalf of the three of us, or Mr. Beige, would you like to do it? I feel like you're maybe a little smarter than me.
Are you sure? But please. No, if you were to go talk to that creepy fuck, somebody has to. You definitely
I'm gonna do
should.
It I'm doing it. I can't. He's making me paranoid. Excuse me, Mr. Gray, it was?
And pause. We are about to enter a flashback as you're approaching Mr. Gray. You're thinking back on the escape that you guys had just went through to get to the point where that you are now. So a complete change of scene, cut away from the warehouse to a short time earlier that same afternoon. You just saved Mr. Black's life on this job.
Me? Yeah.
You did. Absolutely, you did.
Good on me.
Good on you. So what happened that led Mr. Green to saving Mr. Black's life? You tell me the story.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, well, look, I'm a smoker. And so I go outside for a cig, and I'm like, hey, you know, pal, do you want a Chesterfield? And he's like, nah, I'm good. I'll stay in here. And so he was like, you know, just sitting in this hallway. And next thing you know, I see a bunch of armed dudes. What looked like dudes? They could have been females too. So armed human beings, people, head to toe in black, go into the building with a bunch of heavy, heavy artillery. I mean, we're talking big guns, military grade. And they're throwing like rappel things through the windows. They're throwing gas through the windows. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. I mean, I gotta get out of here. And the thing is, like, I could have left, obviously, because I was, you know, outside having a cig in the alley. But I risked my damn ass because I go in there and I say, hey, dude, we got to go. And he would not go. And so I go, hey, dude, we got to go. He would not come with me. So then I smack him, knock him out, throw him over my shoulder, war style, haul him out of there, get into my Rolls Royce, and we take off.
And how long did you make it down the road before you realized that you never heard the shot? You didn't see the blood, but that you didn't actually save Mr. Black. And he was dead in your vehicle, and you had to hide that from everyone else. What happened? When did you decide that, and what did you do?
Well, I went into some kind of like frantic monologue talking to the car, like, hey, you would have listened to me. Why'd you make me do this to you? And, you know, I literally punched a guy who was dying. I didn't feel great about myself. So, but if you want to like put a time on it, I would say probably a good 30 seconds into it.
You realize that you're dead.
Yeah.
What'd you
do? I didn't
see
the blood. And then I noticed I had blood all over my absolutely beautiful suit. Not in the jacket. What'd you say?
It's not on you now.
No.
Yeah. So what'd you do with the body? Just dump it.
Are you going to rat me out if I tell you?
No. I'm not Mr. Gray. I'm just me talking to you.
Yeah, I don't know I can trust you, Keeper. this is what I'm saying. Well, here's what I did. So my friend owns a pretzel shop. Hot pretzels, best. I ask her. Her name's Annie. And I said, Annie, do you mind if I dispose this body in some of that those big vats of cheese sauce you have? And she said, what's it worth to you? I go, look, I'm a little light right now, but it'll come back to you 20-fold. And I mean 20-fold. You'll be able to franchise this Annie's, put it in shopping malls, airports, you name it. you laugh at me, but it'll happen. So we struck a deal.
Very, very interesting. Okay, so you flash to all of that while you are walking up to Mr. Gray, and we're going to, even if Mr. Beige and Mr. Silver were able to hear that conversation, I don't know if they were or not, you are the only one, for the sake of the characters, that knows that story.
Yeah, okay.
But you remembered it as you're approaching Mr. Gray.
Yeah.
So now we're back in the warehouse, and you've walked up to Mr. Gray. He takes notice.
Yeah, so hey, excuse me, Mr. Gray, I noticed you're not really hanging with us or participating in, some of the things we're looking into over yonder. What gives? Also, I just want to say, a little weird you're writing in a notebook as you're watching us, like you're taking some kind of notes or working on a novel or something. So what gives?
Well, I mean, I'm just as suspicious as you are of me, of you.
Interesting.
I'm very, very sorry. I don't mean to put myself on the outside. You know, I have my own inner problems like anyone else might, and my therapist suggests the note-taking. It really helps.
Can I ask you something? Is this your first time you've ever done this?
Sure, if that's what you want to think.
That's not what, I mean, it's not what I, but about what I want to think. It's just,
look,
you're very sketchy is what I'm saying, and you don't seem like a professional. These two other guys, Mr. Silver, Mr. Beige, they're obviously professionals, easy to work with. We're in a group mind.
But you, think you're off. Boss would have put me on this team if he didn't at least believe in my skill set the same as he believed in yours. And if you want to start questioning me, it would only be fair for everyone to question you and your motives here.
See, that's weird that you keep on turning my questions that I have for you and my skepticism of you back on me. That's some pretty basic 101 psychology right there. And I'm not buying it. Anyway, so
I'm doing a job the same as you are. It didn't say anywhere.
Okay, well, you want to come help out then?
I'm friends with everybody.
Do you want to come help out then? I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm just saying, like,
what would you like my help with? I wasn't even consulted when a decision was made to pull this box out of the van and crack it open.
Well, you didn't make yourself feel like part of the team when you're standing over there taking notes about everything we do. I'm just saying.
To be honest, I forgot I was even here.
Okay. I mean, it makes me question your professionalism again. But, okay, good enough. Why don't you come and join us whenever you feel ready, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you better feel ready pretty goddamn quick.
Thank you, Beige.
Because you can tell me to question Mr. Green all you want, but at the end of the day, Mr. Green is over here helping me with these damn boxes while you're over there writing a bunch of shit down that's going to be used against me in court later.
Yeah.
See, we're all feeling this. It's three. You're making three people feel very comfortable.
I'm not here to rat anyone out, all right?
You wearing a wire?
No, I'm not wearing a wire. It helps me to externalize my inner dialogue by writing it down, and then I'm able to process the world in a different way than you are. I'm not doing anything bad here, other than, you know, stealing loot and hiding it in a warehouse. But I'm going to pull Mr. Green in a little, or approach him a little closer and whisper in his ear that he might want to go to the washroom and check his right ear. Something looks a little suspicious. And then I'm going to just announce to everyone in a louder tone of voice that I'm going to walk the catwalk and check the windows and see what's outside. Because everybody's only worried about what's inside and not what's outside, you know.
Take your notebook too, okay?
Never leaves my side.
Yeah, I see that. Guys, I'm going to go to the washroom. I got to throw a piss. So I'll be back in a couple minutes.
So, Mr. Beige, I'm just going to be walking around up there, chiming in when I remember that I'm playing this game alongside you. but you see Mr. Green shuffle off to the washroom. He doesn't know where it is, just that there's three rooms in the warehouse with closed doors. He's going to go try to find one. And you two are left kind of in the middle of the warehouse, the big room. You've cracked open this box. It's laying there wide open. What are Mr. Beige and Mr. Silver going to do while Mr. Green attempts to find the washroom?
Where do you think this stuff's from?
Well, actually, that's a good question. Where did we steal it from? Keeper. We would know where we got it, right?
Or did you think that was already boxed?
It was just like a generic office building. It didn't make any sense. You don't feel like it came from that place, that it was sort of a waypoint on the journey of this loot.
Okay.
A transition. Well,
hell if I know. Some kind of antiquities dealer. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not an educated man, at least not like that, right? I'm not really paid to be. One thing we got to consider, though, I mean, because who cares? You know, who cares where it came from? It could have rained down from heaven for all it matters to us, right? But this is what I'm thinking about. Now, we got three boxes, right? And we got three cars. I came in a car, Mr. Green came in a car, and you got that van, right? So let's just say, for the sake of argument, cops show up. We got to get the hell out of here. Now, we have all this loot in just one vehicle. Well, we might lose it all, but we split it up. Everybody puts one box in their vehicle. Maybe we got a chance of still getting away with something. And that way, we don't have to count on just trusting anybody either, because, as I'm sure you've noticed, we don't even know each other's real names.
And this point, paper towels the on cup. There. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely what I was counting on.
Okay, and the red hot paper towels in there, man. You know what? Look, if you can hold it, do. I recommend it, because it's a goddamn Dante's seventh level of hell in there. Nightmare. Nightmare. What are you guys talking about?
We were talking about, where do you think this box of jewels came from?
K's? I don't know. Every kiss begins with K. Sorry, I just always think about that, you know, jingle when it comes to jewels. Great company.
This looks to me like it came from a museum or a collector or something.
Yeah, you're right about that.
But you rob a museum, you see that on the news, people talk about that. It's not like robbing a bank where you just make off with some cash, you hear about it maybe once and it's done. This is a big deal. This is like a heist.
Yeah, are we even sure they don't have trackers in here? Like, they could have some kind of device, you know, like an air tag in here.
Do we see anything in the crate that looks like it could be, I don't know, electronic or some sort of tracker?
Beige, you were the one rooting around in there. Did you see anything in there?
No one saw anything.
Did I see anything in there?
Apparently. Yeah, like a little, some kind of bugging device.
I didn't see anything. I mean, unless it's disguised as oversized gold jewelry, then I didn't see it. All right. As long as we're just waiting around, we got to get these boxes put away somewhere. Somebody help me get this one in my car. We'll split the other two up between yours.
Got it. I'm in. I got strong.
Mr. Gray is going to come down from the catwalk and ask you guys if you'd like any help.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you're taking a cut of this, yeah, we'd like some help. You're expected to work on a job, J-O-B.
So he jumps in with you guys and helps move these boxes.
Well, I have a quick question. Mm-hmm. Will these boxes fit in a car? I mean, are they pretty huge? Did you need
to? Yeah, it's going to be a tight fit. It's a tight fit, but you'll be able to definitely do that.
Okay. Okay.
I want to know, as Mr. Gray, I want to know, like, I'm picking one of these up with one of you guys. Which vehicle is this going in? We already have one in the van, so is this...
I have a quick question. Okay, can it fit in the trunk, or does it have to go in, like, the back seat or something?
It will fit in the trunk.
Okay, so before we pick anything up, my character is going to say, all right, look. I guess I don't know that much about you guys, but, you know, based on our shared interests, I'm guessing, you know, you might be up for a little bit of fun, right? So nobody freak out, but I got something in the trunk I think you're all going to want to see.
Ooh, I love fun.
I'm going to have to take it out, to make room for this box anyway. So, and then I'm going to go over, I'm going to pop the trunk, and I'm going to show them who's in there.
Who?
Okay. Hold on. I gotta look at my character sheet again. Yeah.
It's a who, not a thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, there is a... there's a cop stuffed in the trunk of my car.
You beautiful son of a bitch. You bagged a cop?
Yeah, she is... let's see. Yeah, she's stuffed in there. Presumably, she's still alive. I mean, I didn't mean to kill her.
She's alive.
Okay.
Whoa. Alive.
How long has she been in there?
I mean,
that's
how long how long ago did we steal this stuff?
Hold on. Martina?